God's covenant with Abram. You know him as Abraham. It is known as the Abrahamic covenant. How many of you know that Abraham is considered the father of faith? Y'all know that? How many of you think that Abraham is special? Well, I didn't get enough hands. So I have to ask question number two. Wasn't going to be a third question. Amber, I got to come with question number two. How many of you think you are special? Oh, okay. Now, some of y'all ain't vote. I don't know, because you come from the Republic of Poland, Czechoslovakia out of 1950, but you didn't vote. So I don't know where you stand. So I can put you anywhere I want you. But I'm going to assume that majority of the folk in here think that Abraham is special and that they are special. And if I went down to all the classes here at Resurrection, they would say to me, Sister Clayton, that, yeah, we are special. And if I went down to every church in America and asked Sunday school classes, I'd get that same 50% or so that said they are special. Well, I got another question. I thought I only didn't have any more, but I got one more question. If everybody is special, they should receive the same treatment, right? If everybody is special. Because special people get special treatment. My point is, Abraham is not special. And yet he is. The second point is, you're not special, and yet you are. Because God is no respecter of persons. He just blesses because he's God. He just promises because he's God. And so whatever he has promised Abraham or Abram, he's made the same promises to you. The same vehicle for promising from God, promises from God, he uses the same vehicle to you, his word. And God is no shorter than his word. If God promises something, it will come to fruition. Y'all don't hear me. Abram, on faith, when God asked him to leave Iraq, got up and went. And he did exactly what God said. But Abram, he didn't sit around and say, you know what, I tell you what, hey God, I tell you what, I'll leave Iraq. Me and Sarai, we've been working on babies here and there, and we ain't got there yet, so we ain't ready to move yet. We've accumulated a lot of stuff, and we don't want to give it up, and we're just waiting on this bouncing baby boy. Nope, he got up. He trusted God. And now that he's trusted God, he finds himself in what our authors describe as a predicament. But look at the predicament. See, God never promised that life would not deal us some hardships. God never promised that in time I will do such and such. God doesn't deal with time. You're the one who deals with time. Time is a tool for God to accomplish things. You're the one that lives in time. God lives in eternity. But when God makes a promise, you can guarantee it's going to happen. And we've seen by studying the signs and symbols that God, he just does what he wants to do when he does it. In other words, it's not because you merited it, not because, you're the fairest of 10,000. God says, I want that to happen in your life, it's going to happen. And when there is a condition, it's a condition. If there's an if statement in the promise, that means that there's a condition. Okay? For example, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. What's the condition? Humble themselves and pray. You got to do it. But if God says, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to heal you, there were no conditions. It's all on God. You can be the baddest actor in the world. He's going to heal you because God is a God of his word. If you studious students like Tony Harden and Wes Harden know they studied the lesson. Read chapter 15, verse 1. They read it. They were fired up. We're going to talk about Abram's covenant. Verses 1 through 6. And then verse 17 through 21. If they read verse 1, there should be a question. Sister Sampson says she read it and she got a question. Is that what you said? Did I hear that? Oh. Wes, she took you off the hook. Tony, Grace. But that's what grace is all about. Unmerited, y'all ain't done nothing. Sit back there, look cute, like you intellectual, you know, you ready, spiritual, you know. Humility. Sister Sampson, what's the question? What's the question? What things? You got to ask that question. Because if you don't ask that question, ain't no way in the world this lesson going to make any sense. So in order to find the what things, Terry, I got to go back and read chapter 14. Or at least the last verse in chapter 14. Because some very interesting things happen that brings us to chapter 15. God has already made the promise to Abraham. He's already cut a deal with him. Hey, I'm going to do this for you. You know, you guys are going to have children. You're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham had a nephew named Lot hanging out in the red light district called Sodom and Gomorrah. And O king of the Elamites, not the Edomites, but the Elamites, they decided that they're going to take Lot captive. Abram put together 310 people out of his household. So you know the boy living large. I mean, Nikita and Storm ain't got nothing on Abram. I mean, he got big bucks. He puts 310 folk together. They go over there, whoop the king's head. And I want you to hear this. Oh, Melchizedek, y'all remember him, king of Salem. He tells him, look here, okay. Look here. Very good, you know, you pay tithes and all that. And the kings in that area, you know, they're very grateful for what Abraham has done. So they get together and, you know, and they say, look here, you take the spoils of war. You know, whatever booty there is, you take it. These are bountiful blessings for you. And here's what Abraham said, Sister Bernstein. Ain't no man gonna make me rich. My help comes from the Lord. The Lord is gonna give me all my blessings. You'll not make me rich. But these fellows over here who did a little fighting, you know, let them take it. I don't need it. I don't need it. Chapter 14. Concluded. Chapter 15 begins. And it begins with, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying what? Maybe it's me. Maybe I don't get it. I just told y'all, I gave you, 10,000 view of chapter 14. He just came off the battlefield. He's victorious. He's whooped head. And the Lord comes to him and says, fear not. What are you afraid of? I told you Abraham wasn't special, or Abram, he wasn't special. Abram knew he fought them boys and won. But he knows one thing. They could regroup and he'd have to fight them again. And that instills some fear in him. But the God of the universe, the covenant keeper, comes to Abram, lays him down in a vision, and says, the first thing he says is, don't worry about this. Fear not. You don't have to be scared. But he says something else even more important. He says, I am your shield. In other words, I got you. You don't have to be afraid because I'm your shield. I'm your defense mechanism. I'm your radar system. I'm your antibacterial soap. I'm your antivirus on your computer. I am against everything that comes against you. You are highly protected. You don't have to worry about it. And the reason you got to be asking yourself, well, why? Why the Lord coming to Abram about this? Because there are many times when it looks like you've been asking God for stuff for days and weeks and months, and the months have turned to years, and you simply don't have an answer to your problem. And God is here to just reassure you, I got this. Don't you worry. I got this. You're up here watching the clock. That's your problem. That's why there's some anxiety. And see what happens. I can identify with old Abe, though. I'm telling you. Because, when you've been living a few years, a few days, you get to thinking about, maybe I'm not going to see what God has promised me. Because after all, I was 21 when God made this promise. And look here, I got long in the tooth now. Now, God, I ain't saying that I'm in no hurry or not, but I'm a little concerned. God knew it. God laid him down, gave him a vision, and said, you don't have to be scared because I'm your protector. That's a beautiful thing. That's the kind of God that we serve. Because God does exactly the same thing for you and I. He lays you down in your darkest moment, in your weakest moment, when you are about to give up, when you're about to give in, when you're becoming a little unstable, uncertain about the promises of God, and he reassures us, I'm your shield. I'm your protector. You don't have to be afraid. If he had just stopped there, that would have been enough for me to shout on through the week with. But he had to add something else to it. Because, see, you may sometimes forget about the promise, but most of us don't. Because it's like that childlike psychology that we have, We don't forget. Somebody promised us something, hey, we'll be 40 years later. You remember when you promised me? You promised me we were going to honeymoon in Europe. Don't forget it. God, before there's ever, God is wanting to let him, I not only protect you, you don't have to worry, but I am going to reward you greater than what you anticipated. Do you remember what I promised you? It's going to be greater. I got to looking at this thing, and I'm saying, wait a minute. You done told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. What can be greater than that? Oh, you got to read the text. Because the words there, you know, words are like people. They're known by the company they keep. You got to know. You got to really know these words. What God is saying here, I'm going to reward you exceedingly. And I'm quite sure, parenthetically, we could have added, how, God? And we said, I'm glad you asked. Because your reward, the blessing that you're going to get, your reward is the rewarder. Somebody better help me out of here. Because we're worried about the promise that God made us. And God is strategizing how to reward you greater than your little old promise. You can't big dream big enough for God. God says, I can always give you more than you ever asked. And there must be something special about you that I would even want to reward you greater, that I would want to reward you exceedingly. Because you living right. You could have took that money from the king, and you'd have been justified in taking that money. But you said, I know who my rewarder is. And the moment you said that, I'm your rewarder. See, we start thinking about all these blessings, and we forget about the rewards. And if we forget about the rewards, we forget about the rewarder. But here God lays Abram down and gives him this vision and gives him three more promises. I promise you, you don't have to fear. I promise you, I got your back. And I promise you, I'll bless you out of your shoes. I'll bless you more than you ever thought about. You're not even worried. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what I got in store for you. But he told him in chapter 13 he'd be the father of many nations. The physical father of many nations. The physical father. Somebody say physical father. You got to keep that, because God's going to show you exactly how he can do it even more in a minute here. Verse 2 says what? And Abram said to the Lord God what? I was in my good gospel groove. I'm saying, go, Abram, go. Abraham, go. Got this thing, Abraham. You know what Abraham said? Didn't God just tell him that he's going to give him more than he ever asked for? He said, look here. I don't need your money, God. It's right there. Look, appreciate it. Thank you. You know, give it to Sneeze. Don't give it to me. Because money ain't my problem. My problem is I ain't got no children. Now, you can try to make this, butterfly, this promise, disguise, rather. I'm sorry, butterfly. Disguise this problem. Now, if you can't do it, Lord, I need to know that too. I can take it. But right now, I ain't got no children. And my problem is, I got a servant that's in my house. And the law says that I can adopt him, and that when I die, he'd get all my inheritance. That's the law. Abraham, I thought you the father of faith. How you going to tell God something he don't know? We do it every day. Lord, you know I need. Hit anybody yet? If I could just get the Lord to show me. God doesn't need to be told what he's not doing. But I like Abraham because he lacked me and you. We get weary. We only focus. We get laser focused. When this boy gets delusional and says he don't need no more possessions, I need some children. I need some children. Matter of fact, if I could have whispered in Abraham's ear, I would have told him, Abe, there come a day you'll wish that God would have given you the possession and kept the children. Give them to Nina. But right now, I need an heir. I need someone to inherit my possession. And Abram said, look to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. In case you didn't get it the first time, I'm restating it another way, God. Because after all, you may not be working on full cognition plateau right now. I need to tell you, I ain't got no children. I need children. I need children. I need a seed. I need an heir. And praise be to God. Verse 4. As sure as I'm God, you will have an heir that's out of your loins. I know what I promised you. I know what I covenant with you. I am the original promise keeper. I don't forget promises. I promised you an heir. You will get an heir. Abram, you will have an heir, and it won't be this boy from Damascus. It will not be the steward in your home. When are we going to start trusting God enough to know that he ain't got it mixed up? He don't mix your order up with my order. You know, you got to go to McDonald's or Burger King or Papa Do's somewhere to get your order mixed up. God knows exactly what's on tap for you. And whatever is for you, Pastor Brown, y'all heard it? It's for you. God doesn't get it mixed up. You don't have to remind him. He's reminding the one triune God, the God of the universe, that I don't have no children. And you know what? When we get desperate for something, we get weak. When you can want something so bad that you can almost run the risk of sounding insolent. You know, your children do it. You know how it is. Yeah, you can look that way, she can look that way, you know. Your children do it. They can want something so bad. But you know when the right time it is to give it to them. I don't give 11-year-old car keys. You ain't ready for that. Some of you ain't ready for the ideal marriage. Some of you are not ready for the ideal home. You're not ready. Now, I'm not the one to tell you when you're ready, but I tell you what, God is. God knows exactly when you're ready. When you are ready is when he's going to keep his promise. And guess what? The day he made the promise, he knew exactly the time that it would come to fruition. Here you worried about time though. You got God on the clock. God ain't no cosmic bellhop. Ding, ding, ding. No. Wait on the Lord. Oh yeah, it's gonna hurt. But you don't know, Lord. Everybody else is, you know, they're going off to college and I'm working in the factory. Work in the factory. Oh, Lord, everybody else is got a husband. And you know, I've been struggling. I would be so good. I cook so well. I sew so well. You know, I majored in math, and I can run homes. I can run companies. You gonna remind God of what your status is? He didn't take it from Abraham, and he won't take it from you. Because after all, you and Abraham are just special. God told him, this kid's going to come from you. Now, to me, that's reassuring. And to Abraham, that should have been reassuring. That should have settled his nerves. Because, you know, when God comes in with confirmation, it really settles you. You know, you know, sometimes you're in decisions. You're trying to make a decision about something. And then all of a sudden, you know, you'll pick up scripture. God will send you someone, talk to you, backed up by scripture. And you say, that's confirmation. That's all right. And God knows that in this journey, because you are who you are, there are going to be days when you simply say, I want this baby. You'll say crazy stuff like, I don't need no more money. Give me this baby. I don't need no wisdom. Give me this baby. Because that's what he said. You keep that. No, you got it. Give me what you ain't got. That's what you're telling God. See, you don't trust him enough to say that, hey, God, I know you got something in there. But let's see. Let's give Abe a chance here. Verse 5 says what?
And he brought
him forth and said, go look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, before I tell you about this passage of scripture, this ain't the first time that God had to jack up one of the patriarchs of old. Because he had to do the same thing with a brother named, Job. He had to do it with Job. And here's how he did it with Job. Job, where were you? When I called light and it come running at 186,000 miles per second. Where were you when I laid the valleys or when I raised the mountain? Where were you when I reached down in the dust of the ground and I formed man and I breathed into him the breath of life? Where were you, Job? But Abraham got it first, because Job didn't get it till Job. But right here in Genesis 15, God takes him aside and here's what he says. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look up. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm teaching a lot better than y'all saying amen. Stop looking at your problem. Stop looking down. Stop looking in. Look out and up. You're focusing too much on your problem. It's just me, 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 me. I gotta have, I gotta have, I gotta have, I gotta have. When that baby's crying at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll be saying, Lord, why did you listen to me? But here, God says, look up. But a very interesting thing, there's a phrase there, Terry. About 3 words, it says, and tell. Y'all see that? Read it for me aloud.
And tell the stars.
And tell the stars. Y'all got to read that now. Look up and tell the stars. In other words, I want you to speak to those stars that I put in the sockets. And I want you to tell them how many of them there are. Go ahead, Abe. Come on. Wait a minute. How many did you see? They said that the average person from any vantage point, natural eye, they can take in about 4,000 stars one time. They see about 4,000. But in the space that they're in, the possibility of what they see is 50,000. They only see 4. But God says, take your little puny eyes and look up at the stars. You can't even count what's up there. You can't count. But guess what? As many as you think that they're up there, you're going to have more inheritance. You're going to have more heirs than there are stars in the sky. Because I said it. And God makes a covenant. Therefore, he makes a promise. And God keeps it. God makes a promise. And God keeps it. Just because your situation is deep. Right today, I'm telling you, some of us are a little anxious about loved ones, you know, in Puerto Rico. We're anxious about loved ones that are in hospitals, you know, and we're saying, Lord, we don't know what's happening. But right now, if the Lord spoke to me and said, I got this. Tomorrow, you can pick anybody you want that's laying in a sick bed. Tomorrow, they'll get up and walk. Today, I'm not even, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, and it's out of my hands. God's got this. He said it was going to happen. He said if there are certain conditions, if you pray in the will of God, ask anything in my name, and it shall be granted. Now, the issue is we don't know all the details and intricacies of God's will. That's why we should always pray, Lord, let your will be done. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm willing to accept it. If you don't want to heal her, your will be done. If you want to stand her up on the Empire State Building and sing hail to the chief, Lord, that's your will, I'm with you 100%. Because if God says it's going to happen, it will happen. The issue is it borders on the thing that got Abram over. There's one thing in this scripture. We may have been so excited about the Abrahamic covenant that we missed a key scripture that is key to all that we do and say today, even here at Resurrection Baptist Church. Y'all know what it is? Verse 6. You can read it. Verse 6. Look, I see my basic doctrine students start smiling. Oh yes, this is what it's all about. Read verse 6.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Now I want you to break this one down. He believed in the Lord. That means he trusted the Lord. He had faith. He had faith in the Lord. He heard the Lord, and he had faith. And you know what God turned around and did? He counted it as righteousness. He saved Abraham right there on the plain. Oh, y'all don't hear me? It's called the doctrine of imputation. And it's just as Adam imputed sin to man, and therefore all men are sinners because of imputation, Abraham, now the father of faith, says that everybody who believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior, they shall be saved. And that's why Abraham, right there in the middle of the vision, became the father of faith. Because he believed God. He trusted God. He said, God, you got this thing. You are the provider. You are the buckler. You are the shield. You are the one that is totally sufficient. And I believe that. And he says, because of your faith, you are justified. When Abram believed God in this instance, he believed the gospel. Became the father of faith. Verse 6, little old verse. Don't even seem like it should go there. I thought we trusted God already. But right there, that's where it begins. Well, I need to tell you this. Verse 6 does more than that. You know what verse 6 does, Rob? Go back to verse 1 right quick. Let me show you something. Do you remember what God promised Abram in verse 1? Name three things. First one, fear not, you don't have to worry. Number 2, number 3, and what? I will give you great reward. I'll give you more than what you asked for. What did Abram ask for? A son, one child. That's all he asked for. God told him in the following verses, you are going to have that one child and many more. You can't even count the number of physical sons that you'll have. That's physical. P-H-Y-S-I-C-A-L. Physical. That means of your loin. Your DNA. Kids with your DNA will come. There'll be many. You can't even be able to count them. But in verse 6, when Abram trusted God and was justified, he gave him spiritual sons also. That's more. That's more than he ever asked for. He asked for one son. He got many physical sons. He asked for one son and got many, because every time, every one of you are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. If you trust Jesus Christ, you are a spiritual daughter or son of Jesus Christ. And it came the moment that Abram trusted God, and God says, you're justified. Don't that just blow your mind? You know why? Because in there, he was just asking for this. I told you your dreams aren't big enough. You're trying to get a job, and you need to be running a company. You ask God for rent money, and God wants to give you house money, the whole house money. Pay it off. You ask him for this month. Give me half of this month. And God says, no, I'll bless you more than that. If you trust me, enough, I'll take care of you. I'll bless you. I'll reward you. Because the reward is the rewarder. There's nothing better knowing that you're out of predicament, Nick, that you got in. And y'all been there. We all been there. I remember in the early years, look here, you know, so broke, I couldn't pay attention, you know, call up partners and say, look here, y'all got any food? Hey, we got some pork and beans. Hey, I got a half chicken left, you know. And we all get together at each other's house and throw together a smorgasbord. We eat so good. Ah, man, we were hungry. All you had was a can of beans. But God provided. When you see what God can do in those kinds of instances, we think he can do stuff like that, but we don't think he can do the big stuff. You know, when your marriage has gone south, when it's just raggedy, it's tore up from the flow up. You know, when the job, you're just about 3 days from being fired. You know, when the church, ain't nobody acting right in the church but you. When you're confronted with those kinds of situations, God can't do nothing about that. He can't do nothing about that. That's the stuff that he deals with, God. We can turn all our troubles over to him. We've got to trust God, because every time we do, we fall in line with Abram, with Abraham. Verse 17 through 21, restates the promise. That's all 17 through 21 does. But I want to point something out to you there. I've shared with you on a number of occasions that God made Abram a general promise, but he gets more specific here. Because in verse 17, 17 and 18, read that for me, and then we can go. 17 and 18. And it came to pass that when the
sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning man passed between him and those
pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with in his darkest hour of despair, he sees God responding with the sacrifices. And we see a lamp, a smoking lamp, and a torch. A lamp and a torch. God moving in the midst of it. In the midst of your situations, when you're doing it right, God's got to be in it. And he says, because I'm in it, here's what I'm giving you. I'm giving you everything. Y'all read it in 18. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. Now, folks, when y'all get a chance, you go look at that. It is more land than Israel ever has occupied. They are not there. Did God break his promise? You better keep on reading, because he didn't. They've only settled in about 10% of the land that was given them. We always settle for less than what God is going to give us. Part of it because of their fault, because most of it because God has withheld it. He promised it to them, but they ain't ready for it yet. He promised it to them, but there's some other folk that need to be benefited and blessed. Because those Amorites, you know, they went down to Egypt, say 400 years before they came out and before Joshua and them went over there and whipped head. Somebody better hear me. You see all them Shilites and Ites that are on the page here? All those Ites, they some are gone, but some are still around. And until Israel is ready, the land will not be fully occupied. But God has promised it. So whenever you get into those very intellectual discussions about the Jews and who should be on the land, should the Palestinians be on there, you don't argue. Take them to the book. Take them to the book and says, tell me, what does verse 18 of Genesis 15 mean? Tell me where that land is. Because if God said it's theirs, how can Bud say it ain't theirs? Who you gonna believe, Bud or God? Tell me. So you don't have to argue. You simply take them to the word. God will always respond in kind to his word. He's made some promises to some of you. The issue is some of you haven't gone to claim your promises, just like Israel. Some of the land is available for them. They won't take it. You're sitting on a couch, don't have no job, praying for a job, won't get up and go get the job. Say this again. You're on the couch, praying for a job, and won't go get the job. The job is there. Got your name on it. Can't nobody. It'll be vacant until you show up. But you're on the couch praying for a job. Won't go get the job. Trust God enough to go get what he's promised. I want everything that he's promised me. But I know one thing, some things I'm simply not ready for. Some things are just too small for God. He wants more for me. And for most of us, that's the case. God is willing and has promised you a lot more than what you've been asking for. But you've been so focused on the baby that you've missed the blessings. See you next week.